Welcome to the first episode of Running High and Community Ties, the official podcast of Hills for ATL. As you guys know, every single Wednesday, 7:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., we sweat, we get busy, we get after it. The idea of this podcast is to grow our community, to continue to build, to grow our relationships, to get to know each other just a little better than what we already do. I think in these ways we can come and we can support each other, find new ways to be creative, find out what we all do, because we're all interesting people. So thank you all for tuning in. Let's continue to grow. Let's build this thing. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Tune in on Tuesday. Let's go.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Lindsay. I'm really excited to be here tonight. I have been in a very inspired place the beginning of 2024. And a little background, I actually have a huge passion for building community connections, getting to know people. And I've worked for the past 10 years all around the state of Georgia, just really connecting other people to resources and helping people, you know, tap into that resilient side of them. And I'm excited to be able to use a little bit of this creativity to kind of help grow a community of people that I have found to be absolutely amazing. I have personally been checking out the Hills for ATL workouts for about a year now. And I have, you know, started to have just such a great time. And part of that is because there's just such a diverse group of people here. There's so many talents, people from all fitness levels and people that bring such different perspective. And it really just turns out to just be like something that leaves me at the end of the day feeling just excited to be a part of. And so I connected with AB. We decided to jumpstart this podcast. The reason why is because we can only talk so much during the workouts. I personally have fun walking to the car and, you know, getting to talk about how everybody's doing, everybody's feeling good because they just challenged themselves. But and I just really wanted to create a platform where we could grow a little deeper, where we could get to know each other a little bit more. We all have different reasons why we come out. Some of us may be new to Atlanta. Some of us may be trying to get into shape, but some of us may have really deep reasons why we're coming out, and we're coming out every single week. And so that's kind of what this podcast is going to be about. And I'm excited because we have our first guest with us tonight. And so we have Mr. Remy Burks here with us. Apparently he has known AB for maybe a decade, right?
Yeah, about 10 years.
Nice. Over, so. So how is it, how are you introduced to Hills?
Well, you know, like you said earlier, I met AB, you know, 10 or so years ago, socially, just through a friend group and, you know, through the beauty of social media. I've always followed kind of his DJing and like his fitness. I always kind of give him a tough time because he's in great shape and he'll post every now and then. I'm like, hey, bro, share some of those abs, man. What you got going on? That kind of our like inside thing I have going on. But, you know, I took a look and saw, you know, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago that he was, you know, doing this community workout. And I was like, man, you know, that's pretty dope. I live a little bit north of the city, so it was more of a commute for me. And in the last year, I just had some time where I was available to kind of go down. And, you know, I went down there and worked out maybe last spring. And, you know, what really kind of shocked me about it was just the different, like you said, the diversity and the different levels of fitness. And, you know, if you work out, it's very easy to be discouraged when someone is more physically fit than you. Mm. But the beauty of Hills for Atlanta was the motivation behind everybody. Regardless of what level you were, people just pushed you and motivated you to go through. And I just had a huge amount of respect for that. And I felt like it was a community that I liked to be a part of. So
what was the initial experience? Like that first time when you were like going up the hill, maybe like 2 or 3 times, what was going through your head?
You know, honestly for me, because I'm, you know, when I went out there, I was 30, whatever. And now I'm 40. Was the fact that, you know, I was out there with folks that were, you know, 20, 21. And I can look at the physique of folks and be like, yo, that was a D1 athlete. And being able to go out there and, you know, really just push myself. You know, I'm kind of not the casual workout, but I go to the gym, I run, I do what I do. And just going out there and seeing folks that were from all walks of life, kind of pushing themselves through. And like, it was just very jaw dropping, you know, to see people lifting up the next person, pushing that person through that maybe. And even seeing like younger kids out there just trying to keep up with adults. And, you know, I'm a fitness fanatic. So, you know, anything that's fitness, I love it. So being able to see that kind of encouragement was just really like positive.
Yeah, so like seeing everybody like pushing it, not really knowing necessarily why they're going as hard as they are, but it kind of creates this inner dialogue, you know, within ourselves. We're like, whoa, well, I got to push it too. And then I know for me, I have this watch. I keep looking, okay, well, I got 20 minutes left, so I just got to make it 20 more minutes, you know.
And the beauty of it is, you know, there's pushed in time where you can rest, but not too much downtime. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, it's times when I'm over, I'm like, let me grab my water. And AB's like, blowing a whistle. All right, man. I'm like, man, 30 more seconds. So it's just, it's a constant push, which if you're in the fitness world, that's something that you needed. So
you had a great time. You loved the vibe. You loved it enough to invite some people to come out.
Yeah.
You know, I know for me, like, because we had those breaks and because it was all different types of fitness levels, I was able to just feel confident inviting people to come out. Yeah. And so you brought a few people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime I would go out there, because like I said, we have the beauty of social media. So people would watch my fitness and they saw that I had buddies that live in Alabama, live in Detroit, live in Chicago. And they're like, man, what is this thing you're going to where there's like hundreds of people? I'm like, yo, it's Hills from Atlanta. It's a free workout. Come on out, you know, check it out. And I mean, people love it, you know, because like I said, if you're a part of that community, if that's what drives you, you're always going to look for the next workout. What's that next high I can get, if you will. So, you know, anytime I go out there, I'm going to try to invite two or three people. It's kind of like when you go to church, tell a friend, bring a friend, and they tell one friend and they tell for a friend and so on and so on. So.
And when something's good, it's just kind of hard not to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's just like, even if that was your one little achievement for the day, you went out there, you killed it for an hour, you put yourself around some new people, you kind of feel good about yourself, you know?
Yep.
And you never know, like there's people that are like, you know, just sitting there, right there, wanting to do something different. Mm-hmm. They're kind of tired of the old everyday routine. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is exactly what they're waiting to do. I know I've heard that in the people that I've invited, like, man, I've been looking for something like this.
Yes.
And so I don't know, you know, what exactly, you know, who, what exactly your friends have like shared with you, but do you have any like major highlights that, that you experienced there? I know you've had your own real fitness, you know, journey, right?
Yeah. Years ago, I was, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. I know this is a culture where everybody is so sensitive, but hey, there was a point where I was 50, 60 pounds overweight. You know, I was 220 pounds at my biggest. And outside of the health aspect of it, you know, just your own personal confidence, you know, I went to the doctor in 2012 and in my mid 20s and they say, hey, you know, Remy, you're okay now, but based off of your family history, you could really be putting yourself at risk for X, Y, and Z. So it was kind of like one of those aha moments, if you will. And then once you start going, it's kind of like any healthy addiction, I'll say. You just want to get better. You want to keep pushing yourself. So, you know, I, through my own personal things, and I had a really close friend who we both kind of grew up husky. And I saw he had a huge transformation. And I said, man, like, what did you do? And he kind of gave me a blueprint and I ran with it and I continued. And I always like to share my journey with other people. And like I said, as I bring people on and introduce people to it, you know, my journey, people have just been like so amazed. Like I said, the biggest thing is just the community and the motivational aspect. I mean, it goes bigger than simply fitness. You know, there are people that we're all young professionals here.
Yeah.
So there have been people through Hills where I've seen they've posted things professionally. And I'm like, hey, you know, what's that company you work for? They have any opportunities? So
exactly.
It's so much bigger than just fitness.
It is. It sounds like you also have like an athletic mindset too. So like when you got out there, you are kind of pushing yourself, but it also sounds like there's like another layer inside that, hey, you need to get healthy, you know? And sometimes like hearing that from, you know, professionals, it kind of like is a little bit of a wake up call. I know I'm about the same age as you. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of like, you know, health becomes our number one priority.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And we have so many more resources now than, let's say, our parents or grandparents. So you know, it's kind of on you to kind of go out and search to figure out what it is that's available, what resources are to make sure that, you know, you can live as long as possible.
Right. And there's just a lot of people that are coming out there that have those internal motivations mm-hmm. as well. I've definitely got an athletic mindset. I try to push myself to be better and better.
Yeah.
I see that in you as well.
I don't. I was in the marching band. So I'm not even an athlete by trade. I'm far from, you know, but that was just, I mean, let me not before my marching band people, hey, we're athletic too. But it's different than being, you know, a D1 or D2, you know, football, basketball, volleyball player. But, you know, it's that competitiveness.
Right.
Even in a marching band or a marching band space or athletics, that competitive nature. So it all goes hand in hand.
So how do you take care of yourself every day? This looks different for everybody.
No,
you know?
It is different.
Like, so what is you taking care of you look like outside of the hills?
Yeah.
Workout?
So for sure, I always try to wake up with some form of like mindfulness or meditation or prayer, whatever your thing is, you know, just to kind of clear my head. I work in a very high intense consulting sales aspect.
Healthcare, right?
Yeah, healthcare.
So
okay. I'm a medical sales exec. So I'm going out promoting diagnostic testing throughout, you know, the state of Georgia. So for me, I have to start off kind of with some way to clear my mind before I go out, because I'm not able to help a patient or help a client if my mind isn't right. So I try to wake up and kind of have my morning routine. I try to commit myself to every day doing at least, you know, 45, 55 minutes of physical activity, whether it be going for a run, whether it be going to the gym, lift weights, whether it be going for a hike. So those are, you know, some of the things that I like to do. And I like to just ensure that my diet is on par. I won't sit here and say, hey, that I won't go to Wendy's and get some nuggets or whatnot, but I'm not doing that every day. You know, I like to wake up. I like to make my own breakfast.
Moderation. Moderation, right?
Everything in moderation, okay. Right? So I'm not one of those folks that, you know, says, hey, you know, I only eat, you know, leafy greens and protein. You know, I'll go out and I'll have my milkshake here and there, or I'll have my, you know, burger here and there, but it's not every day. And I just try to make sure that I'm balanced, you know, like you said, everything in moderation.
I mean, like it's, you know, whether you're meditating or whether you're doing cardio, all of these things are forms of therapy so mm-hmm. that you can make sure that your mind is right, so that you can show up for the people that you are constantly around. That way you can continue to add value, whether it's at work or in your family or your friends. It sounds like that is also important to you.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you know how to live a little too.
I am trying to live too much.
I live with a level of guilt and punishment if I would even think about something like Wendy's. So that's really refreshing to hear that about you. So there's always things that, you know, really push us, the things that like, you know, help us maintain that consistency and that discipline. And so, Remy, what is it that you think gives you, what's giving you purpose right now in your life? What are some things that you're doing right now that's really just giving you purpose? And those things can change, you know, different phases of your life, you know. So what are some things you're working on that give you purpose?
Sure. So, you know, I'm actually a part of a mentorship program through my church. I attend Turner Chapel in Marietta, Georgia. Iron Sharpens Iron is a mentorship where we actually prepare young men ages middle school, seventh grade through senior year of high school, just preparing them for some of the challenges of the world. Mm. So, you know, we have financial empowerment workshops. We have, you know, entrepreneurial workshops or whatnot. So, you know, originally being from Chicago, moving to Southfield, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit, you know, I've been able to see impoverished neighborhoods as well as more affluent. So being able to kind of have that balance and being able to kind of have those conversations with young men who are going to be stepping into a world that they don't know what they're getting into.
That's amazing.
That's, you know, something that I'm passionate about. Additionally, back in...
Well, hold on. Sure. So can anybody be a part of this Iron Sharpens Iron group, or
So the Iron Sharpens Iron is more geared towards male, but there also is a... mentorship, and they would kill me. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I'll get it back to you so you have it. That is more geared towards ladies that are seventh grade to high school age. And it's the same.
This is such good information because, I mean, let's be real. We don't have nearly enough role models, especially in this age range.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of broken families. There's, you know, parents that are incarcerated. They're getting raised by their neighbors or their grandmothers. And there's just not a lot of that. So I think that that's very meaningful just to hear that you're even, that a group like this even exists.
I mean, it's needed.
You probably get a lot of like highlights just personally working with kids.
No. Yeah. I mean, anytime I'm able to talk to, you know, these young men, and I mean, I remember the first episode, the first meetup I went, there was a young man who was telling a story about how he had gotten kicked out of his homeschool due to some, you know, errors he made as a young man. And myself, you know, when I was in the seventh grade, I made the foolish decision to bring a BB gun to school. And I was kicked out of my homeschool and had to attend an alternative school. And it just was, the parallels were there. And I was able to kind of have a offline conversation with him, just telling him like, hey, you made this mistake. You get to learn from it and you'll have a greater appreciation for education and things of that nature moving forward. So I felt like when I went in there, that was the first, one of the first conversations, I said, I'm in the right place, you know, and I was able to kind of give him a couple jewels that, you know, helped him.
And I know a lot of kids like that. I know I see them training at one of the gyms that I go to a lot, like, you know, sports is an outlet, you know? And maybe we could even get some of these people to come check out Hills.
Well, that would be awesome. No, for sure. I mean, one of the things we do, although we mentor and, you know, we kind of, you know, give them ideas, we do it at a gym. Yeah. So after they have their moment with us and their knowledge, we let them play basketball. We order pizza and, you know, I let them kind of be kids. So, yeah, they would absolutely be open to that.
Yeah. They probably look up to you and think you're super cool.
Yeah, a little bit. They're like, oh man, he wears J's and everything.
Exactly.
He must be okay.
I'm exactly. Like, well, I think that's awesome. So don't you have like your own podcast or something?
Yeah. Back in 2022, I actually, it's funny how things work out. I had somebody in my life who told me I didn't have any passion or hobbies. You know, they told me all you like to do is work out and party. And I said, you know what? I do more than that, but I do need to find something. So, you know, I was a mass comm minor, marketing was my major, business administration. And, you know, one thing that I was passionate about was being a parent. I'm a father to a 7-year-old daughter.
What's her name?
Her name is Zoe.
Her name is Zoe. Okay.
Yeah. She's the love of my life. She's amazing. 7 going on 17. But, you know, when I was thinking about what I could do, I said, what's something that I'm passionate about? It's something that I feel like I'm good at. And I felt like parenting was something that I was good at. So in 2022, I reached out to a few people that I knew that were also parents at different stages of parenting, different stages of their relationship. And I reached out to them and said, hey, would you be willing to do this podcast with me? And they were. And, you know, our goal is to really just, really just provide invaluable content to our providers that help them get through the day-to-day challenges of parenting. Because when all the influences we have these days, there was no social media when I was in middle school or high school. There was no, you know, you didn't have as much access to free this and internet and things of that nature. So I feel as though, you know, we needed a platform where we could, you know, really give people tips that can help them through parenting. So, you know, the Parental Advisory Podcast.
I love that it focuses on a specific audience like that. You know, anytime that we can feel a little bit more connected by being a little bit more specific on who we're talking to. I'm not a parent, but I can see how valuable something like that would be.
But we have topics that are not, because although you may be a parent, maybe you've dated someone who has a kid.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're thinking about it. So we try to make our topics not just relevant to parents, but relevant to people that may be dating parents, people that may be divorced, people that may be married, kids that some of the topics are not as kid friendly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kids can tune into certain episodes and kind of gain something. You know, we wanted to make sure it was a platform where we weren't bringing down the parent, more or less, but we're real because everybody doesn't get along.
Yeah.
But we try to take a more of a positive approach.
Of course. Parenting. And you know what else I love? I love that it took someone saying, hey, you know what? I don't see you passionate about anything.
Exactly.
You know, and it really does take someone some or a situation or something like that where we may not like what we just heard,
yeah.
but it planted a seed.
It did.
And it made you think, and it's like, well, let me like reassess my life here.
Absolutely.
What am I about? Who am I? What could I try to do?
Absolutely.
And from that uncomfortable, you know,
yeah.
hard truth statement,
yeah.
you know, you were able to use that to really like turn something into this creative outlet
for
to
sure.
help other people. And I see that as a value of what we do, like with the Hills for ATL group
sure.
as well. But I know that like this podcast, you know, the reason it's probably so successful is because you've overcome, some challenges, right?
Yeah.
And I just love that, this is something that, you're pretty proud of, because I think that, we could all, you know, learn a lot from this just
mm-hmm.
because it's a perspective that we don't hear much from.
Yeah.
So tell me about this, how you were able and why you're proud today to kind of navigate and get through this co-parenting and overcoming this divorce.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I was, you know, I got married in my mid-20s. You know, I feel like, you know, I have no regrets, if you will, with getting married at the time. But I feel like when you get married in your mid, early 20s, you haven't had a chance to really determine what your non-negotiables are, determine what your expectations are. And I feel like, you know, things played out the way they did. And, you know, we came to a decision where, you know, we decided to part ways. But at that point, we had a daughter. And our decision was say, hey, although we are no longer going to be together as this unit, we still are always going to be a family because we have a child to raise. And we need to make sure that what we're instilling in our daughter is going to cause her to grow and develop, to be, you know, an upstanding citizen, if you will. So, you know, like any couple that was married, dated for years, we have our days where we don't see eye to eye. But we always make sure that we try to take the you out of it and make sure the focus is on her.
Because she's watching you every day.
Because she's watching everything. The good, the bad, and the indifferent. So, you know, we make sure that we have a set of boundaries that we respect and we don't cross. And we just try to make sure that we don't pull each other down and make sure that if we do have to have one of those uncomfortable conversations, mm-hmm. we don't do it in front of our daughter. We do it right. offline, and we make sure
that,
yeah, because in our society, unfortunately, like I'm on social media like everyone is. You pull up social media and what do you see? I hate my baby daddy. I hate my baby mama. My ex makes my life.
Yeah.
And don't get it twisted. There are some days that I know my ex is like, I can't stand Remy. And there are some days where I'm like, I can't stand my ex. But at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to make sure that our child, the decision that we made to have her together, is going to benefit from what we do. And she's looking to us. We're her mentors.
That's powerful. You know, it's just so easy to be in that moment of reaction or of being upset and just to have that conversation immediately. But to decide together, to say, hey, no, we're going to wait. We're going to just take this.
Yeah.
We're going to take this out.
And it takes time.
But that is an awesome trait to have.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of families could learn from that, because the end goal is going to be, it's going to be worth it to create that like safe, awesome environment for your daughter.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you told me that that's really your why. That's really just, that's at the end of the day, you know, that's your baby.
No, yeah.
And so you want to create a life to where she can continue to thrive. And you said you learned a lot about who you are through your father, right?
Yeah, my father and my mother, you know, both of them, you know, my parents, they, you know, they actually grew up as friends. Our families were intertwined and they grew up as friends. And, you know, when my mother decided to move from Chicago and go to school down in Montgomery, Alabama State, my father was a graduate and they dated at that point, and they made this young man sitting in front of you. They didn't stay together. I spent summers in Montgomery, Alabama, you know, the majority of my life in Chicago and then Southfield. But, you know, my father, you know, RIP, passed away back in 2020 of COVID, unfortunately.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, the 37, 38 years I had, I mean, he really was able to kind of give me a lot of jewels. You know, everything, you know, he made mistakes along the way, but he also made sure that he provided for our family and instilled with me like what it took to be a man. And my mother, being a single mother, growing up on the west side of Chicago, having to raise a young man and then relocate him to Southfield, you know, I was able to see her get up every day and provide and grind and work out and, you know, through her professional experience, be able to take me all over the world, you know, be able to take me to Singapore at the age of 9, to Cancun, things of that nature, things that people in my environment weren't doing, kind of showed me what I wanted to be able to provide for my daughter. So, you know, coming from, I don't like to say a broken home because it wasn't broken, but coming from the non-traditional nuclear family, being able to really tap into both of my parents, I think has molded me into, you know, the father that I am now. I'm not perfect. I'm not without flaw. But I like to say that, you know, I would wake up every day, and when I get up and I go to work and I have these conversations with doctors, and when I drop my daughter off and I'm in my gym clothes, or when I pick her up and I smell like the gym and she's like, "Oh, daddy, you smell." I'm like, "Hey, you know, daddy was in there getting to it." You know, those are things that I want to, you know, instill in her. And I want to know that, I want her to know that daddy is not just daddy. He has different elements to him, and he, you know, he fails as well. And one thing I try to do is be transparent with her. If I make a mistake, I try to explain to her why I made that mistake and what I'm going to do to correct that, so that if she ever comes into the same instance of me, she can maybe, instead of making that mistake, make another turn and not, you know, fall into, you know, some of the areas I have.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like you're definitely a leader as a father, but I can see everything that you're saying as well. You're also a leader in the community as well. You're a leader at work as well. I mean, just like you're being transparent with your daughter, if you know, a mistake happens, you have a very human moment or anything like that. I mean, all of these things transfer into just the way that we respond to life.
Absolutely.
And I think just the fact that you are able to take that inventory of yourself and in those moments switch it up and get back to that why and to stay motivated, it really, really is just adding value to anyone that really comes into your circle.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So before we close, I want to talk about where you, your future outlook. You know, this podcast is called, you know, Running Highs and Community Ties. So Remy, what are you running towards? Where do you, paint me a picture of where you think your life will be, you know, here in the next couple of years.
Well, you know, Pinky, I want to take over the world. A certain good conversation cartoon always said. But no, you know, I just always, like I said, I'm not without flaw, right? But I like to be the type of person that if I leave a room, I leave people with a positive outlook. Mm-hmm. So some of my personal goals, like I said, I was a business major. You know, I do want to pursue my MBA. You know, I always want to continue to push myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Mm-hmm. So anything that I can reach out to that's going to help me grow, whether that be coming in contact with, you know, this person or that person, whether it be reading this book or coming across this podcast, whatever it is to grow, you know, I, you know, like anyone else, I want to continue to grow my family. And like I said, you know, having a daughter, you know, I'll just be totally transparent. I don't want my daughter to have daddy issues. Over life, I've come across, you know, women I've dated or people, and they tell me, you know, my father wasn't there, or my father was doing this or whatnot. And like I say, I'm not without flaw, but I want to ensure that, you know, my daughter can grow up and say, you know, hey, my dad may have made some mistakes, but he was always there for me. He never missed a cheer performance. He never missed a gymnastic performance. He never missed an event at school. So, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, much as my man AB has been doing for the community, that, you know, if anybody comes and talk in contact with me, they can say, hey, you know, when I left, he left me with something positive, or he dropped a nugget on me or a gem. So, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm able to be beneficial and add value to whatever environment, exactly, or whatever room I'm in.
And being a woman, I mean, I know, you know, my dad's got 6 daughters.
Oh, wow.
You know,
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
And so, I mean, just hearing you say that, just as far as like the importance of just wanting to be a good father, and just be there, it truly is important, just coming from a woman's perspective, to be able to have a father's love like that. Yeah, and to be there, not just at all the competitions or when it's good, but also on those days when she comes home and she's, got her heart broken or she doesn't know she's going to make the team, you know, whatnot. Yeah. And I just think that you're doing an awesome job, and I'm really excited to know a little bit more about you.
Thank you.
And, you know, this is exactly what we were hoping to do tonight, was just to spotlight Remy. You know, we really got to know you a lot more. I know that I do have one little question.
I'm nervous now.
Do you still play the trumpet? You guys, this guy went to school a scholarship playing the trumpet.
I did. I attended Tennessee State University, and I was a member of the world-class two-time Grammy Award-winning Aristocrata band. So shout out to AOB Nation out there.
Okay.
But I do not. I have not played a trumpet in over 10 years. And it's funny because it's a muscle, you know, your embouchure. It's the muscle. So it's muscle memory. So I guarantee me picking up a trumpet right now would just be like, you know, not lifting weights for 10 years and then trying to rep 225. It's not going to happen. But if anybody out there wants to purchase me a new trumpet, they're about $1,200. I prefer to have a Bach trumpet if possible. Feel free. Cash App, Zoe Noe 16. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I don't play.
Hey, you can work on your breathing exercises at the Hills on Wednesday.
I mean, the crazy part, Lindsay, is I guarantee if I did pick up a trumpet, one, I would be playing for leisure versus I was playing for a scholarship and I was playing for a grade in high school. But I guarantee because I do have better diaphragm and breathing, and I'll probably be that much better of a musician now, and I'm doing it for fun. So
exactly.
That's something I always tell myself. You know, one day I'm gonna buy myself a new trumpet, but you know, every time I look at $1,200, I'm like, yeah, I'd rather go to Columbia or something like that. So that's kind of how that works out. But one of these days, I'm
gonna get one. Well, thank you for being transparent with us and just giving us a little bit about who you are. Bring those kids out from the iron sharpens iron. I think that would be awesome. I know all of us would totally welcome them and have fun. They'd probably kill us going up the hill.
No, yeah. We always try to do some social.
At that age.
Yeah, for sure. We always try to do some social team building activity. So I feel like Hills for Atlanta would be a great one. And, you know, anybody out there watching, you know, follow Hills for Atlanta on Instagram and, you know, just come out. Don't be intimidated.
And if anything, if Hills for ATL can support you in any way, just let us know. And thank you, everybody.
Yep. And thanks for having me.
Of course.
Hopefully you'll have me again.
We'll see you out there on Wednesday.
Oh, for sure.
Thanks.